Like, you'd be shouting and yelling, wouldn't you? You'd be doing everything to get their attention, to warn them of what's coming. Another example, especially relevant at this time of year, how about when there's a bushfire alert happening in those communities that are at risk of bushfire? Now, have you ever been around when this has happened or when they've been testing their fire warning systems? Right, because what you'll hear is this howling siren, like a World War II air raid siren. Like, it's unlike anything that you'll normally hear, and that sound cuts through everything when you hear it. Like, I have family who live up in the mountains, in the Dandenong Ranges. And when you're there and these fire sirens go off, like, it puts chills down your spine, especially if it's a hot day, because you know that that's a warning that's being sounded. Like, the sound of that siren focuses your attention and you become more alert and more aware, and you usually start looking around for smoke to see if there's anything there. And so then when we look then at this second half of John's letter of 2 John, when we look from verses 7 to 13, as we'll do tonight, then we'll see that just like these two examples, John does likewise. He grabs our attention by using strong language right from verse 7, because he's now going to give a warning to us. So if you remember from last week, the first six verses in 2 John, they were all about love and truth. Walk in the truth, love in the truth. Walk in love, love one another. John has laid a foundation about truth and love to contrast with the people he mentions here from verse 7. And how does he describe these people then in verse 7? Deceivers and antichrists. Deceivers and antichrists, they're strong words. Like, they're not words that you'd use every day. You wouldn't use them to refer to many people at all. Like, John's just written about loving one another. And now this? How can you go so quickly from one to the other? But what John's done is quite logical, really. Like, he's only written a short letter here with lots in it. Like, he's finished laying this foundation regarding truth and love, and now he's moving on to the business part of his letter, you could say, where he sets out the reason why he's spoken about truth and love. And that reason is because he wants to give a warning about those who don't have truth or love. Not meaning simply non-believers, those who don't know Jesus, but rather people who are deceiving and who are anti-Christ. And John also wants to help Christians to know what to do regarding these sorts of people. And what's really terrible about these people that he mentions is that they've come from the church. Like, verse 7 says that they've gone out into the world. They've gone out into the world from the church. The book of Acts says the same thing. If you look at Acts chapter 20, verses 29 to 31, where the Apostle Paul says, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day, with tears." So these people, they've come from the church. They're claiming to be Christians, yet they're not. They're actually false teachers. Why? Because John says they do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. Now, in John's day, it's believed that he's writing against a false teaching called Docetism, which comes from the Greek word dokio, which means to seem. And so Docetism, it denies the reality of the human nature of Jesus Christ. So instead they claim that Jesus only seemed to be human and therefore only seemed to die, which has big implications regarding Jesus' sacrifice for our sins, because if Jesus isn't fully human, as these Docetists were claiming, then he isn't representative of humanity. Therefore his death on a cross wouldn't have paid for our sins. But We know that Jesus was resurrected from the dead, meaning that his sacrifice was enough. His resurrection confirms that our sins are paid for. He did truly represent humanity on the cross. He was fully human as well as being fully God. So the Docetists were incorrect. Now, for Christians living today, we too have many false teachers about. People who claim to be Christian, yet who deny the basic realities of Christianity, who deny the truth. You know, from those in cult groups like Jehovah's Witnesses or from the Mormons to those who might be preaching prosperity gospel or who deny the existence of hell. All these types twist, distort, or ignore Scripture. They are false teachers. Of these people, John states in verse 9 that whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. These people, these false teachers, sadly, did not have God. And as a result, such people are truly deceivers and antichrists against Christ. They have neither truth nor love. John's language here might be strong, but John's language is accurate. And so John gives a warning about these false teachers, but not only that, he also gives a warning to believers ourselves. He says in verse 8, "Look to yourselves, that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward." So look to yourselves, watch yourselves, in other words. Make sure that you're not being deceived by these false teachers. Make sure that what you believe is true to Jesus and true to the Bible, so that we don't lose those things we worked for, not meaning our salvation, but to lose our faith, lose our Christian fellowship, lose our Christian communities and churches. And instead, that we may receive a full reward so that Jesus may say to us on that last day, "Well done, good and faithful servant," so that we may receive eternal life together with our God. And in verse 9, John, he also gives a warning by providing a contrast for true believers between false teachers and themselves. The false teachers are not abiding in the doctrine of Christ. They're not following the truth. And so they don't have God. True believers, however, abide in the doctrine of Christ. They follow the truth and so have both the Father and the Son. So he's saying to believers here, make sure that you're not following or believing in what these false teachers are saying. Make sure you're abiding in the doctrine of Christ. Make sure that what you believe and are taught is true to the Bible. Otherwise, you don't have God, which is a terrible thing. Otherwise, even though you may call on his name, even though you may worship him, it'll be like Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, 21 to verse 23, where he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I'll declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" And then John, he further warns believers in verses 10 to 11 here, where he says that if anyone comes to believers and does not have the truth, by claiming to be a Christian, he says, "Do not receive him into your house, nor greet him." And he also says, "For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds." Again, that's pretty strong, given what John's been saying earlier in his letter about love. But this is where an understanding of loving in the truth comes in. As I said last week when we looked at verses 1 to 6 of this letter of 2 John, as Christians we love one another in the truth. We share a special bond of knowing the truth. And so our love for one another is different. It's deeper than our love for just anybody. Loving one another in the truth doesn't apply to others, though we should show love and care towards everyone. And loving one another in the truth especially doesn't apply when it comes to false teachers, who are these people that John's speaking about here in 2 John. In the original context of John's letter, in the time that John wrote this letter, these false teachers, they were traveling around from place to place, as Christian teachers at that time would often do. And they were taking advantage of the hospitality of the Christians that they met. They were being welcomed and given accommodation, food and drink, because the Christians thought, oh, they're with us. But they were dangerous. Their incorrect teachings could damage the faith of true believers, as John says here in verse 8. And not only that, but welcoming them into their houses and greeting them, extending Christian love in the truth, Christians were appearing to endorse these false teachers. They were giving these false teachers credibility, because people would be thinking, oh, they're staying at John's house. They must be okay. Their teaching must be true. As I said, dangerous. And as a result, such behavior of welcoming them and greeting them would indeed be pretty much sharing in these false teachers' evil deeds, because you're enabling them to carry out their false deeds, these evil deeds. A similar type of example from our times, not a negative example, might be something like in the recent state elections that we had. Now, when you receive mail from the local member of parliament promoting their party, it has photos of them doing good deeds about town. And usually, if their party's in government, if their party's in power, they'll have a big photo of themselves together with the state premier of Victoria, which says more or less that I'm with him. You know, the state premier gives credibility to that local member of parliament because they're seen together. A comparable thing happens when someone like the US president visits somewhere. Everyone wants to be seen with the president because it's as if they're being endorsed by the president. They get credibility from just being there with him. So you can imagine the effect if a false teacher can somehow get in close with true believers and to even stay at their houses. These people who claim to be Christian, who are coming out from the church but are not following the truth, they're false teachers. They're deceivers, John says. They're antichrists. And Christians must not love them in the truth. So is this a call to be unloving? No. But is this a call to be discerning, however? Yes. John speaks about love being that we walk in obedience to his commands. This is about the truth. It's as Christians we should show love to fellow human beings, to everyone, but with discernment, because we don't love everyone in the truth. Some people, unfortunately, are deceivers and are antichrists. So they claim to be Christians, so they've come from the church, so they may be in the church, and we need to guard ourselves from them. Don't just love everyone blindly with Christian love. Be discerning, because some people are dangerous. Another example from today, such a similar sort of discernment should be used with things like Christian books, for example. Like some Christian bookstores sell books by anyone who claims to be a Christian, even though the teaching within these books is anything but Christian. Like, in a way, the authors of these books are gaining credibility. They're being endorsed because they're being placed in association with true Christian authors. I mean, people may logically think, if the book's sold at a Christian bookstore, then it must be Christian. But unfortunately, no. Like, we have to be discerning. And probably one of the best examples of this I actually saw while I was in Korea, where they had a particular author who claims to be a Christian but is known to not be, actually wasn't in the religious section. They'd put him in the self-help section, which was quite good of them, quite wise of them, I think, although it might have been on purpose. And this sort of advice that John gives here, he takes seriously himself. There's a story that's told by a man called Irenaeus, an early church father, where he tells a story about when the apostle John, who wrote this letter, went to a public bathhouse in Ephesus one day. And inside the bathhouse, he bumped into a man called Cerinthus, who was a well-known heretic at that time. Now, instead of greeting Cerinthus, John turned around and ran from the bathhouse, shouting to those who were with him, "Let us fly, lest even the bathhouse fall down, because Cerinthus, the enemy of the truth, is within." Right, this is coming from the Apostle John, who has the nickname of the Apostle of Love, running away from someone who's a heretic. So he takes seriously what he says here himself. And then finally, in verses 12 to 13, John concludes his letter saying, "Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper or ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full." John has many things to say, but would rather speak face to face, not in writing. That he has written this letter then shows the importance of his warning. It shows that John wanted this warning to go out now rather than later when he'd visit in person. And in these last two verses, John's tone has changed back again. His warning's been given, and he finishes his letter with warmth and love for fellow believers. So then, walk in the truth, love in the truth, walk in love, love one another, but be discerning. Though we should show love to everyone, we do not love everyone in the truth as fellow believers. And we know from the Bible that many false teachers are about. We shouldn't be surprised. These people who do not have the truth, who do not have God, be careful that any love that we may show them as fellow human beings doesn't give them credibility or endorse the sort of things that they're saying. Don't love them in the truth, in other words. Keep them at arm's length. And as we go on to 1 John from next week, we'll look through the book of 1 John. We'll see then a good example from the Apostle John of someone who is loving other believers in the truth, together with someone who does not. And so finally then, we'll finish tonight by considering the words from John in his letter of 1 John in chapter 2, verses 18 to 27, where he also warns believers about false teachers, as well as reminding us to continue following the truth. And he says, "Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it's the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He's Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him." So love one another in the truth, but with discernment. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word in the book of 2 John, Lord. Though it can be hard to grasp and understand how we should love others, Lord, that to understand that there is a distinction between the love that we show, it would help us to understand this more, to love other believers in the truth that we share with one another, and to love others throughout the world, but not so much in the truth, not so much in that unguarded family sort of love that we share with believers. And Lord, even false teachers Help us to show them love and to show them truth and correct them in what they're saying, but not to love them in the truth. In all this, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we come to the end of our service tonight, let's stand and sing our final hymn together, which is hymn number 1, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. Let's stand and sing together to our God. Hymn number 1.